Cause I want it all. It started out with a kiss, and it ended up like this. It was only a kiss. It was only a kiss. Now I'm falling.
Hands of Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Friday, final hour of the show. Before we hand the reins on over to JJ and Alex, they'll continue with their draft coverage. Stevenson Sylvester was hanging out with them yesterday. Good stuff from Sly's perspective on the NFL draft and NFL teams. You got Bo Nix going to the Broncos. Penix going way high, way too high to the Falcons. What are we going to see tonight? It'll be fun to see.
That's going to cause bad blood, buddy. That just stirred up your locker room.
Yeah.
Everybody was settled into thinking Kirk Cousins was the guy, which he is. He's still. It's not. Michael Penix isn't going to come take the job away from Kirk Cousins. I will tell you that the Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos is a full room shakeup because Zach Wilson, who was traded for a sixth round pick, and why am I forgetting the name of the other guy that's the
Stidham?
And Stidham.
Yeah.
That becomes a three man race.
Yeah.
I don't know who comes out of that three man race. I kind of had the feeling after we talked to Mark Schlereth that Zach Wilson would get the start in Denver. But there's a lot of people that believe Bo Nix is going to come in and they're going to hand it on over to him.
There's no way. No way. Now, by week 8, 9, 10, maybe. But I would be shocked if Sean Payton's starting a rookie at week 1. And especially, you know, when you run those offenses in college and it's one read, a lot of RPOs, it's pretty simplified. And then it's like going from, and I mean, look, you talk about this all the time. Like, I know, and I'm letting people behind the curtain a little bit, that, you know, you come across as like, you know, silly, dumb guy sometimes. People need to understand, you're a smart son of a gun. Like, people don't appreciate how smart you are. And you've talked about all the time about how hard the offense was to pick up as a lineman.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it's like as a quarterback going from a pretty simplified collegiate offense to something that Sean Payton's rolling out, which I got to imagine that playbook is about the size of War and Peace.
It's got to be. Yeah, it's got to be really deep. Because by the time you build a playbook after years and years of compilation with Drew Brees, because every time you're out there in a game and you're seeing something, if you're a good coach, you see something, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Shoot, if I turn that from a full cross or a full drag into a quick button hook, or if I can... Man, if I go a trip set and I put a whip route on the outside of that double post, holy cow.
Yeah.
And you're building this playbook and this depth of the playbook. Now, you do want to keep it as simple as possible, but yeah, that playbook's going to be real deep. Years and years of being with Drew Brees, you've built a deep playbook.
Yeah.
And we'll see how quick Caleb can ingest it and put it out on an NFL field.
And frankly, by the way, Lloyd...
Or sorry, not Caleb, but Bo Nix.
Yeah. But I do think that that's one of the reasons why Russell Wilson's not there, is that Russell struggled with it. And he said he had to simplify the offense for Russell Wilson, who's been in the league for a decade.
Well, again, I know we go back to Mark Schlereth's comments, but remember what Mark said about Russell Wilson? He said Russell Wilson had limitations that Seattle knew how to manage.
Yeah.
The two coaches, Hackett and Payton, that have worked with them, or whatever offensive coordinator's working with him, was trying to make him do things that Seattle knew he couldn't.
Yep.
And you got to know what a guy can and can't do, and you got to work a game plan that it doesn't niche you, it doesn't take those possibilities away, but something that really leans into the strengths. And so that's where good coaching is really important. That's what I continue to believe that Sean Payton is a hell of a coach. I just think that he and Drew Brees do what they do unless Sean Payton is a brilliant mind. So the right quarterback should flash.
All right, joining us now, he is the president of the Utah Jazz, but also a really good dude as well. Jim Olson, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jim, you haven't had anything exciting going on lately. How are you holding up? Jimmy there.
I'm here. I'm sorry, Scotty. You know me in technology. How you doing?
We're doing good. How you holding up over these last crazy weeks?
Oh, man, we're holding up great. I mean, what an exciting time for the whole state of Utah.
Hey, I don't want to start the interview this way, but I kind of feel pressed. Is there any leftover J-Dogs that you need to get rid of? Like, did you take home a bunch? Or?
Hands, don't ask me that. I left the building, and I saw you with a backpack full of J-Dogs. You don't get any more than the 40 you had in your backpack.
You saw me with 25 tinfoil wrappers. That's what you said.
I did. And you ate them all that night.
Oh, man, I do love those J-Dogs. How incredible was that event? And what did you think of the turnout and the show up and how Utah represented?
You know, it's really interesting. On one hand, you're like, you're just blown away at how amazing it was. And then on the other hand, you step back and you say, no, this is Utah. This is what Utah does. This is how we are. This is how we respond. And I mean, we just sat there and watched the crowd roll in, and not only just the crowd, but their energy and their excitement. And they start, you know, they get the chants going, and the players are in a back room and they're hearing it in the back room, and you see their eyes getting big. I mean, it was, but that's how Utah is, right? That's just how we do things here.
When you hear the response from players and coaches that are coming from Arizona, and there was a great write-up in The Athletic today where I can't remember exactly where the story was, but one player told the reporter that it feels like we're in the NHL again. It felt like we're in the NHL again. Now, again, that's not bagging on the Arizona or the situation down there. It is what it is. But when you got that response and you were able to interact with the coaches and the general manager, the head coach as well, what was their impression? Because it seemed like they were as blown away as anybody by the response that happened that night.
Well, you know, kind of the same situation. I think they came here hoping, you know, for NHL, hoping for the response of the fans, but until you see it, you just don't know. And I mean, I go back to, you know, Bill Armstrong, the GM, I go back to his comments on the stage, just saying, you know, how heartfelt it is. And, you know, to see this type of response and, you know, talking to Bear, you know, coach after, and he was just like, his comment was the best. He said he'd been in the NHL for 7 years, and this is the best day he's had yet. I mean, and it's so sincere. They just feel it deep. And I think you're right. You know, no knock on everything that happened in Arizona. It's just a tough situation. But for them to come and get to experience what they've already experienced, and it's just the beginning, right? We're so committed on making sure they have the greatest experience possible, and they're going to come and just bring the NHL to Utah. It's just really exciting.
Speaking of making it the greatest experience possible, you've got to have the greatest venue possible. And Scotty and I watched you mastermind and task a remodel of the Kurt Delta Center, and we were in the arena as it was being remodeled, and it was quite the thing, man. It was quite the thing watching the full-blown effort and how quickly that thing was able to turn around. Is this going to be just as simple, Jim, for you?
I mean, you're
funny, Han.
I mean, back then, I mean, that was a big deal. You spent $1 million a day in over a summer. That's a drop in the bucket compared to what you got going on now.
Yeah, you know, you're right, and you guys were a big part of what we did, and you know, back in 2017, and it was an awesome project and something we're really proud of, and we'll always remember. You know, hey, this one's even bigger. I mean, it's one thing to make the changes we did back then, but you know, Ryan Smith has challenged us and challenged the architects that we need to have the very, very best NBA and NHL arena. And, you know, what I mean by that is NHL and NBA arenas have different sight lines. And when you have to duplicate, you know, sports, things can start getting sacrificed. And the one thing we're not doing is sacrificing, you know, the sight lines and the fan experience. And so, yeah, it's even a bigger project. You know, we're up for it, and it's going to be fun.
So, again, if we take you down a path you can't go down, totally understand. You can change the subject quickly. But Are there settled plans in place? I know you can't divulge what those look like and things like that, but have you kind of settled in on what you anticipate it's going to look like and what those plans will entail? Has that come down the pipeline yet, or is that still kind of in flux?
Well, there's a lot of work that still has to be done, and a lot of just creation and innovation and strategy and planning. But what I will tell you is we do know we're going to master that fan experience and those sight lines, and that we're going to create something that hasn't been done before.
So, Jim, I saw the video of, I would say, five, maybe six Jazz players that were at the NHL announcement. I saw Will Hardy was at the NHL announcement. As you guys took this to the Jazz, and now you got similar ownership in Jazz and the NHL, what was their response? What was Will Hardy's response? What were the Jazz players' response, if any?
No, there definitely was a response. They're excited. I mean, obviously, you know, the outliers, Lauri Markkanen. I mean, a couple Finnish players coming to town to play, and obviously, you know, it's an incredible sport in Finland where he's from, and he's a huge fan. And but the players across the board, I mean, we're just bringing another professional sport to the state of Utah, and that just raises the level of the state. It raises the level of awareness. It raises the level of things to do and excitement and entertainment and the highest level of sport that there is. And they get it. I mean, that's the world they live in, and they see, they see what it's going to do, not just, you know, for them as fans, as sports fans, but for the entire state of Utah. So, yeah, no, they're fired up.
You know, we were part of that organization for so many years, and, you know, we'd sit around.
Oh, you're still a part of it. Come on.
I appreciate that. But, you know, we'd sit around meetings, and, you know, we'd always say, how great would this be, or how great would it be to add NHL and the franchise? When did you feel like throughout this process, you're like, holy smokes, this could actually happen? I mean, was there a moment where it just kind of dawned on you, like, this isn't just a pipe dream anymore? This could really happen.
Well, it was really, you know, down the final stretch. Ryan's been very public about his conversations with Commissioner Bettman over the years, and just, you know, running the process. I wouldn't even say running the process, but just keeping the dialogue open. And you know, so then you start thinking, okay, maybe one day. We don't know what the expansion plans are for hockey, but, you know, we'll be prepared when it comes. But, boy, I'll tell you, just in the last little while, it happened fast, and fortunately, we were ready.
So we were listening to Ryan Smith on a national show, and he was talking about, at the time, it was 27,000 deposits for season tickets. I got to imagine it's probably closer to 30, and it was somewhere around 7% crossover with Jazz season tickets. As you've watched this play out, Jim, how separate is the NHL base? And I'm talking about tickets as well as maybe corporate and corporate dollars and corporate spent money, to the NBA and the Utah Jazz. Is it two different worlds?
Well, you know, I think the way I'd look at that is first of all, we've crossed 30,000 deposits as of this morning. And so, you know, that number just keeps growing, which is exciting. And we're going to come up with a plan to, you know, get everyone an opportunity to you know, see hockey games this year. And to your point, you know, 7 to 10% of that is only crossover with Jazz ticket holders. And so it absolutely is a new fan base. I think, you know, there's different levels. If it's ticket sales or sponsorship sales or whatever it may be, you know, there's your hardcore hockey fan. There's your overall sports fan. I mean, I hear people say all the time, like, you know, they watch playoff hockey, or they watch, you know, some, depending on what team, they watch a certain team. But, you know, I just think what our job is to do is identify what's the experience we want for the hardcore fan. What's the experience how do we want to take the fan that's occasional, but move them up to a little bit more than occasional, you know? And then, you know, as far as the, you know, the corporate infrastructure and their ability to support, listen, Utah's the fastest growing state in Utah, the best place to do business. We know a lot of our partners are already on board and excited about hockey, and we know it's going to bring some new partners to us too that want to get into the sports world. And so, you know, it's just we're going to have something for everybody.
I know Jim Olson, by the way, president of the Utah Jazz, joining us right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. I know you're a Utah guy, so this will resonate with you. But I remember that first year in the Pac-12, and everybody's all fired up about the Utes in the Pac-12, and it was the final non-conference game of the year, and Kyle Whittingham's doing a walk-off interview. And somebody asked him, I think it was the first game of the Utah played in the Pac-12, was in the Coliseum against USC. And he's like, yeah, it's been fun for our fans, but we got to prepare for USC. We got to prepare for this. And you could tell, like, the magnitude of what they were about to embark on was like, oh, boy, we're in it now. So you have the party. You're celebrating. Everybody's fired up. And it's an incredible accomplishment. But then all of a sudden you realize, like, you guys and this organization probably has one of the most difficult summers in organization history coming up. Like, what's the mindset of the crew over there going into what is going to be a pretty daunting amount of work going in and preparing for a professional franchise to start operations in a matter of 4 or 5 months?
You know, that's an interesting question, Scotty. I was talking to one of the presidents of one of the other NBA teams today, and he was kind of going down that path, and he said, you know, we had 9 months to roll out a G League team, and I know how much work that took, you know, to do that with a G League team. And he goes, you guys are going to do this in about 4 or 5 months. And, you know, it's NHL. And you know, theirs was basketball and basketball. Ours is basketball and hockey. But you know what? I guess there's two thoughts that I have. Number one, I look at our team that we have in place. And when I say our team, I mean our staff and the people that come in every day and work so hard and are so committed and have so much passion for what they do. Like, I mean, I'll bank on those on that team every single day. And, you know, part two of that is I'm just dumb enough to think we can pull this off and pull this off great, you know. And I don't know. The bad thing is I've been around too long, and the good thing is I've been around too long that I just know what we can do, and I know this organization can pull it off, and we're going to do it, and it's going to be a riot, and we're all excited.
You know, Jim, again, like, I know there's things that you probably can and can't or don't want to, but I am just curious, as a guy that wouldn't even know, like, I don't know how many zeros are in $1 billion, but when there's a $1 billion purchase, what is that purchase like? Like, does everybody pool their money together? Because I know there's partners, and then you just write a $1 billion check, or is there a bunch of attorneys and banks, or what's that process of buying a professional league like?
Well, you know, once again, Ryan's been public about this too. You know, it's the same ownership group as the Jazz. Everyone that went in on the Jazz with Ryan went in on hockey, and that's just really exciting. I mean, that just shows, you know, we mentioned it at the event on Wednesday that, you know, these partners, there are a few of them, and they're all from outside of Utah, and they're betting on Utah every time. And so I think, you know, what they saw and what they've seen in the, you know, 3+ years of ownership of the Jazz, they just knew this is the place that you want to do business. And yeah, you know, you let the lawyers do their work, you know, and it's hard work, but you get, you know, the lawyers are good, and they get the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and you know, we get to have fun and go build it out. And it just comes when everybody wants the right thing for the right reason, and your intentions are pure and for the state of Utah and what's right, like, it comes together. And I think we've just seen another example of that today, or this, you know, in the last few weeks.
So obviously your center of attention is going to be on that arena and getting that up to par over the next couple of years to make sure that you have the best NBA and NHL arena in both those leagues. But I think it extends a little bit more. And I just give us kind of your vision and the organization's vision of not just the arena, but what the downtown experience could eventually look like. Because we saw the renderings that Ryan Smith tweeted out, and I don't think that was just somebody having fun with Photoshop and put something together. I mean, I think that's you guys saying this is what we can really, you know, envision as not just being a great arena, but a great sports experience that expands several blocks of downtown Salt Lake City, correct?
Well, there's a lot of opportunity downtown. And, you know, I was born in Salt Lake. I still live in, and when I say Salt Lake, I mean actual Salt Lake City. And I still live in Salt Lake City, and I'm very biased to Salt Lake City and downtown Salt Lake. I think other than a handful of years of my life, I've lived in Salt Lake City, and it's the capital city, and we just have such a great opportunity, the Utah Jazz and NHL team in Utah, to help. I mean, Salt Lake City is great, but we're ready to take that next step. And as you know, as you look at renovating an arena, you're right. It goes beyond that. It's like we're going to have another 40 to 50 to 60 nights a year downtown. You know, years ago, one of our head of security made the comment to me. We're talking about a little security issue. And he said, you know, Jim, he said, every night that we have a game, it's like moving a small city in and out of the arena. And you think, okay, 18, 19,000 people, you're moving that many people. It's a small city. Well, we're going to now do that another 40, 50, 60 nights a year with hockey. And so if you're going to do that, you got to take advantage of it and say, what else does that mean? What does that mean with restaurants and retail and just experience? And, you know, I've been obviously watching some of these hockey playoff games, and it's the most, every time there's a goal for some of the venues, the first shot after the goal, they go to the crowd of like 5,000 people outside going crazy watching this goal happen. And I'm like, that's what we want downtown. And that's, and but we need to invest, and we're going to do that, and you know, really build a better experience for downtown Salt Lake.
Well, Jim, I was asked what my opinion on the new name should be, and I said it should be the Utah Olsons, and because I had you and I in mind.
I mean, you just spell it wrong. That's the only problem. We got to spell it a little different than the way you spell it.
Oh, hold on now, because we're going to Denmark for some actual hockey, so we're going to stay with the E in. I don't want to get too crazy. We're going to stay Nordic, but I want to know how crazy is that process. And do you have a favorite in the fight?
You know, I don't. The process is going to be fun. I mean, the pub, Ryan's already announced the public's going to be a part of it. The fan base is going to be a part of it. And, you know, working on details there. My approach on things like this is sit back and kind of let some things play out. And I haven't developed a strong opinion. And I know there's a lot of strong opinions out there, but I'm gonna enjoy the ride and see where this thing goes.
Yeah, you'd be surprised on Twitter. There are people that actually have really strong opinions on what you guys need to be doing with that. So
I'm shocked to hear that.
I know, right?
I did not know that.
Hey, we're asking you kind of. This is a unique thing, and I know it's unique for you, but we talk about the name and you know, Hans and I, we're not big, you know, whatever you guys name it, we're cool with. Like, we don't have any strong opinions on that. But from a logistics standpoint, from merchandise and apparel and making sure everybody's wearing the right jersey on that opening night or sweater, I guess is the right terminology.
Yeah, sweater.
Sweater. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need time for that. So, like, what's the timeline? Like, because again, there's a lot of us out there, like, you know, name it what you want. We're going to show up regardless. But for people to be able to invest and get the apparel and make sure your equipment guys have everything they need, like, that's something you kind of have to do pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we've touched on it that, you know, we're moving fast on a lot of things. But, you know, we always say, you know, it's better to get it right than to get it done fast. And so we'll get it right. I feel really confident about that. I think once again, you know, bringing the fan base into it is going to make it a lot of fun, but we can move fast at the same time. It's challenging, but once again, there's nothing, I know this team can get everything done, and I'm not worried for a second about, you know, their ability to get it done and get it done right.
What, by the way, has this been fun for you from a personal standpoint, getting to know, because you've been so entrenched in the NBA for so long, but now you're looking at what it's like from an NHL perspective on draft and free agency and timelines and salary caps and all that other stuff. What's that process been like for you to try to learn not just the sport itself, but also the intricacies of the business side of the National Hockey League?
Oh, it's been a riot. I've loved every minute of it. You know, the group at the NHL, they're amazing, and they've just been incredible. The group that's coming in from Phoenix, they've been incredible. You know, I mean, fact is, I actually am a hockey fan. I went to school back in Boston, and so, you know, I fell in love with hockey back then, and just, you know, fortunately, not 40, I'm definitely changing my allegiance for my team now. I now have a new team, but, you know, I've followed hockey, you know, since I went to school back in Boston. I've always loved the sport. And, you know, once again, when you have a passion about something, things come together and you can make them work. Mm.
Well, Jim, we kept you way too long. We appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us. Congratulations on all the news. Hans and I are here to help out with whatever you need. Feel free to hop on anytime, but you're hard-pressed to find two guys more excited about what you're building over there right now.
Well, you know what I think about you guys. You guys are great friends, and I appreciate you. And Hans, you haven't got me drafted yet. I keep watching the NFL draft board, and I haven't seen my name pop up yet. So you're falling short on your responsibility there, but I know you'll pick it up and get it done here.
What I'd suggest is just stay by the TV like I did on my draft night and be disappointed as your name never comes up. I'll call you right after the seventh round is over, and I'll be like, hey, look, it's okay. We'll get you in the free agency, and you'll be able to build that way.
Apparently, all you have to be is Michael Penix, and you get drafted a top 10, which I still have not wrapped my brain around. But
how about all those quarterbacks going that early? That was something.
Huh? Yeah.
They loaded up. So, man.
All right, Jim.
Well, listen, you guys are the best. I appreciate you getting me on. A lot of fun to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Always fun to catch up, Jim. Thank you.
There he is. Jim Olson right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone, president of the Jazz. And
a lot of good insight there.
Yeah. Great human being, too. All right, 231, Hans and Scotty. Tom's hanging out with us right now from the warehouse. And I'm telling you, like, Tom does not shirk when it comes to providing great details and great analysis and great savings on your opportunity to save a ton of money. If you are not taking advantage of this, shame on you. Because, Tom, when you drop these booms, people need to be listening. They need to take advantage of it because this is incredible savings people are enjoying right now.
Well, I don't mean to scare people, but these are nuclear booms. You've heard of the DECA boom. Well, this is the week of the nuclear boom. I have got to move product. We want to show love for our customers. We want to show love for our community. And all in general, it's a season of love here at the warehouse. So I announced last break that we're going to do no reasonable offer refused. I understand we've had some phone calls. So let me explain that a little bit more detailed. If you are looking for a sofa, a sectional, a coffee table, let's say you need a lift chair for your mother or a lift chair for your grandpa. Let's say you need a dining table. Let's say you need a mattress. Whatever we say you need, you come in and we will let you tell us your best reasonable offer. And if it's reasonable, we will not refuse it. You might get a no, but it was no before you asked. So please do not hesitate to give us an offer. And if it's reasonable, we will take it. But not only that, I've got some of these nuclear booms. One being that dining room table for $99. It's a $1,200 table. I've got King mattress stacks with a $3,500 mattress, only $599, and that's only the beginning. If you need financing, we're going to take care of you. This is the show, the love deal. Do not miss it. I'm going to run it through Monday night.
That's it. And then Monday it's over. And considering the prices, there may not be the inventory by Monday. So people need to take advantage of it today, right now, correct?
Hey, listen, if you've got an owie, put a Band-Aid on it. If you need to clip your toenails, put them in the cupboard and clip them when you get home. But get down here. This is the show, the love sale.
Love it. That's Tom from the warehouse right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Get down there right now. Don't even call. Just hop in your car. Head to 1825 South, 300 West. It's the warehouse. Those savings aren't going to last, folks. That inventory is not going to last. You got to take advantage of it right now. The Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West, right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Salt Lake is the newest home of the National Hockey League.
We want our NHL team. This is a hot spot in America.
And when the announcement was made,
this thing's going to be successful.
The Zone had it covered from every angle.
Two of the big four.
From the draft, free agency, and all the way until the puck hits the ice in the fall.
It can't come soon enough.
Let's go.
Your home for the best coverage of the NHL in Utah.
Utah is now the home of NHL hockey.
Talk about it right here on 97.5. The KSL Sports Zone. The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Scott Girard, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Friday, everybody. Big thanks to Jim Olson, who just joined us. If you missed that conversation, it'll be up on our podcast feed momentarily. All you have to do is search Hanson Scotty on your whatever podcasting platform of choice. Had a chance to chat with Kurt Helin as well about the NBA playoffs. That's available for you as well. Of course, Kurt from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. NFL draft resuming here in a few hours. Second round will get underway. Third round as well. Kingsley Suamataea probably will have his name, hopefully, better have his name called tonight. And then the rest of the Utes and Cougars sitting back and waiting to see when their name is called as well. But stressful time, man. I can't imagine. I mean, you lived it. You know what it's like. And that was before social media when everybody's, you know, tagging these guys. Hey, man, why are you not going? What's going on? You know, I can't imagine, like, Cooper DeJean, who the Iowa corner, who I think is going to be a fantastic NFL player, did not go in the first round. I can't imagine what he's going through right now, because it was just a foregone conclusion he was going to be a first rounder. Now he falls into the second, and I'm sure he's like, well, what did I do wrong? Had a great combine, great numbers, great collegiate career.
Happens to somebody every year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Somebody's name is just run through the mud because they continue to tumble. But this has been a really strange first round. Just the offensive presence in that first round was really strange. Leotau Latu was the first defender off the board at number 15, which, by the way, I love Latu. It was Leotau, wasn't it?
Yeah, yep.
He was the first one. I do love that guy. Headed to the Indianapolis Colts. I forgot to tell you, one of my buddies who he still works with the Colts, still works.
Yeah.
For and he was actually, I'll let you know in the break, because it's somebody was there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. One of your buddies was there in the big bowl room.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
He let me know who was there. So I'll let you know in the break. But I do like that pick. Leotau Latu.
Yeah.
Is pretty awesome.
Well, it's interesting. There's going to be teams that are going to have great value on the defensive side of the ball, because those offensive guys, it was so offensive heavy that, you know, good quality first round picks are going to now fall into the second round because they got pushed down. And so you're going to see guys, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, like, how was this guy a second round pick? He should have been a top 10 pick. Well, that's because everybody got quarterback crazy and went nuts for all the quarterbacks. Now, I will say this, at the end of the day, I don't think we're going to remember this draft based on quarterbacks. We're going to remember this draft based on offensive tackles.
Yeah, there was a ton of them. A ton of offensive tackles. The first offensive tackle that came off the board was number 5. It was Joe Alt. He's the Notre Dame kid.
He's nasty.
And then it just tumbled down. J.C. Latham went at number 7. Then you had Fashanu, who went at number 11. And then you had Fuaga, who went at number 14. And you had Mims at number 18. You had Faetano at number 20. You had, geez Louise,
yeah.
Morgan at number 25. You had Guiton come off at 29. That's a lot of offensive tackles.
Yeah.
Barton, of course, drafted as the middle, but as the center, but across the board, that's a lot of offensive tackles.
And frankly, you don't see a lot of centers taken in the first round.
No. No, and pretty void of tight ends. Two tight ends came. No, one tight end.
Yeah, Brock, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. All right, let's get to it. Sports Roulette, taking the big storylines, putting on a roulette wheel, spin it, wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. So, Lloyd, fire that sucker up. Freak.
Well, Milwaukee's cooked, buddy.
Yeah.
The Greek Freak is out for tonight's game 3, and I'm not expecting him back. He went down April 9th in a game against Boston. He missed the last, whatever it was, 4 or 5 regular season games and has not been a part of this series. And I think the Bucks are cooked without him. If he can't make it back, they're screwed. And it is a left calf strain. Apparently, it's really painful. Okay, so we've heard some unrest with Giannis, right?
Yeah.
We know he's not extremely happy in Milwaukee.
Yep.
There's no way that for one reason or the other, he's letting this calf be more of a problem than...
It would really bum me out because he's one of those guys you look at like, hey, look... He's playing in a small market, winning. Seems like he's reasonably happy. Seems like he's a good dude. Like, it would really bum me out if he turned Hulk Hogan in NWO, you know? Like, it would really bum me out if he turned heel.
Because when was it?
It was NWO, right?
Yeah.
I'm not. I know you guys are wrestling guys. I don't want to screw up.
When was it that he started to do that? Was that the back end of last season?
Yeah, it seemed like it started to pop up a little bit last year. And it's just like, oh, not you, not you.
Was that when he ran into the locker room to grab the ball
and then
that was last year, right?
And then he wanted to shoot free throws, and he's throwing the ladder around. And it's just like.
And then in the post-presser, he blamed the person handing out gear.
Yeah, that was earlier this year, yeah.
Needing to do it better.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, huh? That was the beginning of this season.
And it's just like, oh, come on.
He's already getting strange. I hate to be that kind of guy, but.
I mean,
it's a calf strain. It happened April 9th. This is the postseason. You're cooked without him.
Yep.
I think they're 1-1, right?
And he knows it.
Let me check. They're 1-1 with the Pacers. Yeah, they're 1-1 right now with the Pacers. So you got game 3 that's at Gainbridge there in Indianapolis tonight.
And frankly, got a coach fired. Now, probably should have been fired and never hired in the first place. But, you know, it just...
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the trend.
I can't help but wonder.
Yeah.
Is there something between him and Dame Lillard?
I don't think the two of those ever got on the right foot. Ever.
I don't either. So I don't know if he's not feeling it with Damian Lillard or if he's not feeling it with Milwaukee or if the calf is truly strained, but. I think that the Pacers get wins in game 3 and game 4 in Indy without Giannis on the court.
All right, one more, Lloyd, spin it.
What's one more?
Well, the NFL, what's the old line? Pigs get fat, swine get slaughtered.
Yeah.
NFL really pushing the envelope a little bit. Roger Goodell talked earlier today in an interview there. The NFL, who went from 16 games where they'd been at forever, then they pushed it to 17, and now they're mulling a 18-game regular season with a quote, significant increase in international games. Again, he goes, here's his quote, I think we're good at 17 now, but listen, we're looking at how we continue. I'm not a fan of the preseason. The reality is I'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season game any day. That's just picking quality. if we got to 18-2, I don't think that's an unreasonable thing to do. And then also including a second bye week to make up for it. This would then put the push the Super Bowl, which always used to be at the end of January. Then it got pushed to the beginning of February. This would then move the Super Bowl, which I like this, by the way, to President's Day weekend. So we could all have a good time on Sunday and then everybody have the day off on Monday to kind of recuperate and, you know.
I don't hate that.
Hit the treadmill, work off the calories or sleep off a hangover or whatever anybody's dealing with.
Because that Super Bowl day is really rough on the system. Super Bowl and 4th of July and Thanksgiving. Really rough on the system.
Yeah.
They're going to keep doing it. It's going to keep happening. You know, I don't like the European travel. I wouldn't like it if I was an NFL guy.
Oh, yeah.
To jump on a plane for 12 hours to get to a destination to play in front of a fan base that I don't care about. That would suck. I would hate that. I would imagine that this gets passed, and I would think that it gets passed under a few conditions. Number one, I need to be able to expand my roster even more. There was some roster expansion post-COVID that's helped allow them to do certain things, but I need to expand my roster, my travel roster, my dress day roster. You know, if we're going to do 18, then give me another 8 guys so I can dress an extra lineman, an extra D lineman, another backup quarterback, and I can keep rotators and keep legs fresh as much as I can. But
well, and if this, the problem is that you expose quarterbacks, the most important position of all sports, to further damage and injuries. And there's some seasons where you come down the stretch run of a season and you're missing your star quarterbacks because they're all banged up. And I know it was just one game to 17 and another game to potentially 18, but still, those are a lot of hits and those are a lot of damage to a really prized commodity in the NFL. So you gotta weigh the issues there. And it'll be interesting to see how the NFL Players Association responds to this because they didn't like 17. I got a sneaking suspicion they're not going to like 18 either. But they also like the extra money. So we'll see.
Yep.
250, Hans and Scotty. Oh, and if there's more jobs too. I mean, if you expand the roster, more jobs, NFL's going to, or Players Association has to like that too. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Ryan Smith, Jazz and RSL owner, join us right here on The Zone.
On the local ownership piece, I've been super fortunate to be invited to be a part of a lot of different ownership groups outside of the state of Utah. I'm interested in Utah sports. I'm not interested in Premier League overseas. I'm not interested in hockey teams outside of Utah. If it's in Utah, that's what I care about. And I care about building the brand and being able to tell a good story and do things that haven't ever been done here in Utah. Our fan base is fanatical, and that's a good thing. We're fortunate to have people who really care in this state about our sports, and I wouldn't trade that. We know what it feels like to win in Utah. It's better than anything and anywhere else, and there's nothing I want more than to be able to let this fan base have that in everything we do.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you. Want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand in my hand, baby. Don't ever look back. Got the world around us just fall apart. Maybe we can make.
All right, Hans, before we wrap up, what's up?
Well, we just got this tip, and I'm kind of worried about Lloyd.
Yeah?
Because, Lloyd, I know that there was a time years ago that you were smuggling cats.
What are you doing?
Are you still smuggling cats?
No, I'm no longer I'm out of the cat smuggling business. Hey, if you'd like me to play it, I can play it.
Do you have it?
I do have it.
I worry about this. All work and no play. There's a full song about you smuggling cats. I want to play this. Like, I just got a hold of this thing. You're not back at it, though?
No, I'm not back at it. It's a dangerous business. No.
Then why is that?
A lot of competition.
How would a song creep back up about it, then?
Oh, I don't know. There's just people doing songs these days.
I want to... No, don't play my song.
Got a story about a man named Hans. Used to play ball, had big dreams and plans.
But he was in his head, he's a cat smuggler in the sky.
Always felt like he was just to throw it in. Now his son,
don't turn off my mic.
He was just to throw it in. Now his son, Rocky's the real deal. Gonna take the field, show him how.
I can't believe you're turning off my mic.
I'm just staying out of this one.
You know, I think we need a weekend to ourselves.
Yeah, I think it probably.
I feel like we've been together a lot. We were there at the on Wednesday.
You're not even going to play the cat smuggling song?
We can break it out Monday. I was trying to play it, but we've been busy. We've had sports to talk about.
It has been a very busy day. Yeah.
We had a guy named Jim Olson. Don't know if you've ever heard of him.
No big deal. No big deal at all.
Hey, and by the way, no big deal. It gets even as awesome on Monday.
Yeah.
with the general manager of NHL.
Yes. Very excited about that.
Coming on with us.
It's going to be a big interview. Yeah. Very excited.
Very excited.
Did you like that? It gets as awesome.
Yep.
Yes, it does.
It does.
It sure does.
Everybody's paying attention to that interview. All right. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. One more boom before we wrap things up. Tom's hanging out with us from the warehouse. Tom, every time we think you've set the bar high, you take it just a little bit further. It's all about the love today, and you're loving up our listeners.
Well, hey, let's do some awesome love in honor of Hans's comment right there. This interview's as awesome as a general manager. This interview's so awesome, I'm going to save you money.
Let's go.
How about we do a Coach Mac special? Everybody knows the story. Coach Mac said, Tom, I want you to do somebody a whole house for $5,000. Well, we did it for $4,900. I'm going to smash it today. Two bedrooms, queens, dressers or mirrors. Excuse me, dressers or chests. Two nightstands, two box springs, two mattresses, dining table, and sofa and love. Your choice. Instead of $4,900, how about $3,900? But don't forget, no reasonable price on whatever you're looking for. If you're looking for sofas, loves, dining, bedroom, mattresses, adjustable beds, if you're looking for a lamp, a power recliner, whatever it is, boom.
Let's get it done.
Make an offer. Make an offer. We'll take care of him.
1825 South, 300 West. It's the warehouse. Tom, can't thank you enough, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Love you, Tom. Be safe.
Love you guys.
There you go. It's Tom from the warehouse. 1825 South, 300 West. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.